Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason. This is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Friday, November 7th, as I am posting this, it is time. Yes, it is time. The Year in Review Series for professional wrestling is here. The one, the only. The tradition has been going on the past few years. We are ready. 12 episodes every single month is covered in rich detail. And helping me kick off the series for January is returning guest Jack Farmer, pro wrestling ring announcer, podcaster, and the like. He had a great debut last year, so I wanted to bring him back to hit leadoff this time around. And we chat for an extended period of time about January, which, of course, featured the WWE debut on Netflix with Raw, Hulk Hogan appearing on that show. Of course, do you know what happened there? We talked about, of course, the lead up to the Royal Rumble, which did not happen in January, happened in February. But there's a ton of WWE news. The TNA deal officially signed this past January. We had, of course, some AEW news with a 1980s pop song that was used for the Dynamite theme and kind of went away after 2 weeks. We talked about NXT, some title changes there. The Rock. Remember The Rock making an appearance on Raw on Netflix and then, you know, kind of basically turning babyface again. And then the next night on NXT, the strangest promo ever. So we talked about that, Japan, the junk drawer, everything that happened of note in January is in this podcast. The Pro Wrestling Year in Review Series to 2025 begins right now with myself and Jack Farmer. Josh Nason's Punch-Out starts right now. Well, Jack, we should have started recording the podcast before the podcast. We just kept talking about all these things I'm going to bring up again. But yes. Jack Farmer is here, the man himself. Very busy man since we last talked. Of course, we're kicking off, as I mentioned in the intro, we are kicking off, of course, a year in review series, which is one of my favorite things to do every year. We go back through all these different headlines and happenings and this and that and so many things that, as Jack and I were talking about before, things that in the moment felt like, This is huge, or this is very important, and we're going to be talking about this a lot. Almost a year later, we're like, oh, I forgot all about it. So, Jack, with that intro, welcome back.
Yeah, Josh, thanks so much for having me back on. This was a real treat last year, and so I'm excited I get to be a part of it again this year. I'm excited I get to do January, because that's the farthest back, and that gives me the most bang for my buck as far as that, like, wow, that was this year. That was that, you know, and I got a sneak peek into the notes, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm just excited to go back on and really look back with the 2020 vision, you know?
Yep, exactly. We're just speaking about, you know, hindsight vision. I was saying there should be wrestling years should be like dog years, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so much stuff that happens. There's too much stuff for like 365 days to encompass. And in terms of all things that we're expected to care about, right? And we look over this list and all this stuff. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. So we need some sort of different correlation, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Because, yeah, looking back through this, there's some great stuff that happened. But like I said, it's a weird – time is weird. Either it feels like the stuff I'm looking at was actually 3 years ago, or it feels like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no in between. Nothing feels like it was January. It's all either – it feels like it was 100 years ago or it was yesterday.
Yep. So let's actually talk real quick about what you've done since we last spoke last year. You launched a podcast, correct? You, Raj, and I'm forgetting there's a third person.
Matt Morgan. Yep. We do Massive Heat on the Podcast Heat Network, and that's been a real treat. It's been interesting. I haven't told him yet, but I was a fan of Matt Morgan as a wrestler. Oh. And so it's cool to get to do a show with him. Of course, I can't spill the beans to him. That was a fan, you know, I got to keep some professionalism, but sure. It's cool. And he's been a delight. Raj has always been cool to work with as well. But I've also had the chance to do some ring announcing and commentary at a few wrestling shows here in Los Angeles, which has been a real treat as well. And just staying busy in this world of pro wrestling. It's easy to stay busy. There's a lot of stuff.
And you're also doing Monster Jam, right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, next week I'm going to the Monster Jam Summit to get ready for next year's season. But
Oh, yeah.
that's been super fun. I didn't actually know much about Monster Jam when I started there. But they're just like pro, it's very pro wrestling adjacent, I say, in that it's big, fun, loud events. Fans are awesome. I get to be the arena host. So, throughout the event, I'm kind of hosting the show and introducing the trucks and then also doing giveaways with the kids and stuff like that. It's just Monster Jam's a blast. If you haven't been to a show live, you should go at least once. It's fun, it's loud, it's like a rock show but with giant cars.
Do you do the whole tour they do all around the country, or you specifically West Coast?
So I do the whole country. So last year I was just a like a sub in. So like when they needed someone extra to come in for whatever reason. This year I'm going to be full time. So I'm going to be doing every single weekend for the next I think 16 weeks. Wow. I should probably figure that out. But but I think it's through like May or so, and it's going to be all over the country. So I'm going to get to travel and see some cool places. And that's one of my favorite parts about doing something like that is I get to go to these interesting places that I probably never would go otherwise.
Yeah.
Like Tupelo last year, I went to Tupelo, Mississippi was a place I probably never visit, but it's cool. It's the birthplace of Elvis. So I got to see that.
Yep.
And stuff like that. It's a real fun, like I said, if you have the chance to go to a Monster Jam show, never been, tickets are pretty affordable and it's a fun show.
Yeah. Say hi to Jack. If you're listening to this or you bring the kids, make sure you track Jack down. Tell him where you heard him. You heard him right
yes,
here.
Yes, no, absolutely.
On this podcast. Before we move on to January, you mentioned monster trucks and that industry being very pro wrestling adjacent. So back when I was growing up, syndicated TV was the thing, and we didn't have cable growing up. So I started watching WWF Superstars of Wrestling when I was a kid. And then before that was a syndicated monster truck show. I can't remember what the name of it, but that was like Gravedigger and Bigfoot and some of those like pop culture, kind of trucks from back in that era. So it's funny, there's how that they're aligned together and kind of like almost like packaged together and like this kind of like cool, like, yeah, loud, big, things and big people and big trucks and all that stuff. So yeah, it's definitely linked.
Yeah. Especially I go back to the old WCW days with the Goldberg truck and the,
yes,
and I think they had, it was a, I can't remember if it was a Hogan truck or an NWO truck, but it was something
probably
like
both.
That as well. Probably did have both. So there's always been a cool crossover between the two. And like you said, I think they're just loud shows. They're fun shows. I always compare it to rock shows because it feels like just a like classic big hair rock concert whenever you're at one of these places. And it's just it's a good fun time to go to these things.
Nice. Good stuff. So if anyone's been here, not been here before, I'll explain kind of how this works. So I go through month by month. There's 12 of these episodes, different guest hosts for each of them. And so I go through all the different headlines that we had on our website, WrestlingObserver.com, throughout each month. And I parse pretty much the big headlines, news happenings. We don't go through, every single event one by one by one. But there's enough here where it feels like I did, but I mean, so there's a lot here and we'll go. So I usually go through the kind of the big stories, each promotion for the month, and then I go through chunks of them and then I'll kick them over to Jack for thoughts and so on and so forth. So there's a lot to get into. Let's start with this. So we'll start with WWE to begin with, because if people don't remember, or if they do, WWE debuted on Netflix back in January. That's right. The first week of January. The big thing, Raw moved over domestically. Of course, everything else moved over, mostly internationally. Some regions still do not have Netflix yet. And this was a big night for Raw. They did a new arena gate record at the Intuit Dome, the Clippers Arena out in Los Angeles, actually, we're talking to you now. I'm not going to mention the Dodgers at all for our Toronto fans listening and so on, so various Canadian fans. And this was a newsworthy night, as you might expect. And some new looks and so on. So Hulk Hogan appeared, and he was the late Hulk Hogan, we'll talk about later in the series, booed roundly at his appearance. He and Jimmy Hart came out. Of course, this was following the Great American Beer investment that WWE made, or TKO made, in Hulk Hogan. And he came out. That resulted in him being pulled from Saturday Night's main event later that month. And I put it here, Saturday Night's main event for Jesse Ventura. I'll move that later on. Rhea Ripley won the women's world title on Raw, celebrated with The Undertaker. They really wanted to make that kind of passing of the torch moment Roman Reigns reclaimed the Ulafala. Remember that? In a tribal combat match on this show, defeating Solo Sikoa. The Rock made an appearance, and this was a newsworthy one. I had forgot all about this. He praised, he came out as a complete babyface, praising Cody Rhodes, endorsing Roman Reigns. And it was kind of like, well, because the last time we had seen him, it was the just the final boss and all this stuff. And we thought eventually we were, I think it might have been the last time. No, it would have been October. Now I'm screwed up. We thought, to paraphrase, we thought we were getting the Cody Rhodes match. And there was this kind of this heel persona, the soul and all this stuff. And then he just came out and everything's great. And everyone's awesome. This is the best thing ever. And I was like, what happened?
Right.
Triple H confirmed the Raw runtime and Netflix will be flexible. We've seen that happen. Lots of celebrities, tons of on-mat sponsors. The referees had new shirts. It was a new beginning in a sense for WWE. And here we're at almost a year in. It's hard to believe.
This is one of those things that reminds me of how quickly I can take stuff in pro wrestling for granted, because I loved the move to Netflix because I hated having to pull it up on USA Network and stuff like that before. And I was like, sweet, Netflix is so much easier for me. Now, totally take it for granted. I don't even think about it. I'm just like, oh yeah, it's on this channel, no big deal. So as a wrestling fan, it's just a reminder of how quickly we take things for granted when they happen. But this is a really big show. And yeah, looking back, so much of it is, it's kind of bittersweet, you know? I look at Ulafala thing, and one of the things we chatted about before we went on the air was that that is something that feels like it happened so long ago to me. And just the idea of Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa feuding for something important, like, seems bizarre in this day and age. And they would, I would never think that that would happen. But yeah, that was a big deal at the time. I don't think it really went anywhere, obviously. I mean, obviously Roman Reigns isn't still wearing the Ulafala, or that's not part of his character anymore. The thing that stands out to me a lot, there's a lot of things actually, but Hulk Hogan, I am not someone who's going to try to defend the person that Hulk Hogan was, but I did grow up a huge fan of Hulk Hogan. And I remember just wincing at this moment, because you'd figure he'd get booed, and part of me like, why are we bringing him out here? Like why is this? Why are we putting him in a situation where we know it's not going to go well? I feel like anyone thinking through it knows this isn't going to go well. And it bugged me so much, and it bummed me out so much that this guy who was my childhood hero, again, I'm not defending anything he did outside of the ring, but I was like, why are we doing this? Just leave him in the past, where if you have good memories, they can be good memories. And if, you know, if you don't have good memories, well, then you don't need to see him either. But that, I remember just, I was wincing through that whole thing. And that to me is actually the first thing I think of when I think of the Netflix debut. But all the other stuff, you know, Rhea Ripley and The Undertaker is an interesting snapshot in time, I think, because we all believe Rhea Ripley's a star, I think, to this day. Like, I think she's one of the biggest stars in WWE, right, in pro wrestling right now. And I even saw a thing on Twitter. I can't remember who it was that had originally said it, but they were saying that that Rhea Ripley today is a bigger star than Brock Lesnar.
I saw that the other day. Yes.
I wish I could remember who sent it out, so I could...
I think it was Ringside News. I think it was one of the, I think it was the image. One of the things, image, and it's like, so it's just generate like chatter and retweets and hate likes and all that stuff.
And I think there's a strong point to it. And you see, it makes me look back at this where they have The Undertaker coming out with her after winning the world title. And then it makes me think like, man, like what, it feels like they cooled off on her a lot over the past year since January. It doesn't feel like they're quite putting the rocket on her. I think she might be injured or something right now, because she's not on TV right now. But looking back, it's like, man, it felt like they were really pushing her, where now I'm not seeing her in the promos. I'm not seeing her in the the WrestleMania ads. I'm not seeing her on TV as much or talked about as much. It's an interesting look back because I still think she's a superstar. Yeah. But when you're like, oh yeah, she was coming out with the Undertaker, like they were really behind her. Where now it feels like they're just kind of letting her coast on that as opposed to really pumping her up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, she's been off and on with some injuries this year for sure. But yeah, I think that. That debate is so hard to have as far as bigger now versus bigger in a certain period, because it depends on social media, depends on, I think if you get away from that, it's that airport test thing in a lot of ways, but it's also, Brock Lesnar, a lot of people know from UFC as well. So you have a whole generation of fight fans that know from that, he was a wrestler, but they probably couldn't tell you much. There are some that are straight UFC fans that's all they like and they know a little bit about, but they would recognize him no matter what, where they may not recognize Rhea Ripley, and Rhea Ripley is known to a different, probably younger segment than that. So, but it's so subjective. It's like, what do you want to believe at that given moment? Cause it's just, the world is, I mean, we say, is she bigger now than like ex wrestler was back in the 80s or something like that. It's so hard because there was just TV. That's it. But a lot more people watch TV. It's one of those things that it's a fun social media debate, but it's one that people shouldn't take like too seriously. But yeah, I think she's kind of an up and down year with injuries and all that. Yeah.
That's most wrestling debates on Twitter, by the way. Don't take any of them seriously. Like if you want to have fun with them, like when they come out with lists and things like that, it's cool to have fun, but don't take any of them. Don't like let it ruin your day if you feel like, no, Brock is the biggest star.
Exactly.
But like the last thing, The Rock and Cody Rhodes, I think it's interesting because we knew in that moment that was a big moment. And to your point, it was different than what it was in the previous interaction. And so I'm a big believer in, if you feel like something didn't work, it's okay to change it and move on. Now, this is a little abrupt for me, but if you had like John Cena, which you'll talk about obviously in future episodes, obviously was a heel, and then they just said, hey, this isn't working, let's switch it. I'm okay with that in certain cases, going, okay, we need to switch this. So The Rock being friendly with Cody, I was like, okay, whatever. The I want your soul thing, that was a little weird. But it feels like this moment was really the catalyst for so much of the rest of the year, right? Because that was what led to John Cena, and that was what led to everything that happened with title changes and things like that, good, bad, and ugly. And so in the moment, you're like, oh, this is cool. We got The Rock and Cody Rhodes, and they're in a promo. Are they going to match, whatever? But really, this moment may have been, from a on-screen story standpoint, the most pivotal moment, good, bad, and ugly, for the biggest stuff for the rest of the year.
Yep, agreed. And we'll talk, if for those people who are listening, being like, but The Rock talked about it on NXT. We're going to get that in just a minute. The other big news, I think, in WWE, I was trying to figure out where to kind of place this, but I put it here, was the official announcement of the multi-year deal with WWE and TNA to continue their partnership. It was an unofficial partnership that began in 2024. We talked about it last year. And it was, this was kind of really putting pen to paper, and they were invested in it. And there's a lot of debate as far as, why are they doing this? What's the rationale for doing this? Is this the AEW killer? Is it they going to buy them? Are they going to do this? And we're about a year into it. It's been primarily like 98% on the TNT, NXT side, NXT TNA, as people combine those two things, right? And it's been a lot of crossover between the two brands. Joe Hendry has appeared on WWE TV, appeared at WrestleMania. He's in the Royal Rumble. Jordan Grace, she gets signed. So there's some sort of a little bit of crossover in the main roster. AJ Styles, as we'll talk about later on, made an appearance at a TNA at Slammiversary later on in the year. But it's really, this is a kind of for the developmental program and also for whatever reasons that are yet to come. And I think it's, hardcore TNA fans may disagree. They may think, do we need this? I am always very kind of skeptical of like, what's in it for WWE? What's in it for TNA? Just based on the past. And I'd love there to be a truly strong independent third brand, because I think there's enough talent to easily support it. Is there enough viewers? Who knows? But I think there's way tons of talent that you could definitely, and if you have good storytelling and compelling stuff, that you can make a strong third brand. You know, they are a strong third brand domestically, but it's also now under kind of the creative control of a different group, a much bigger group, number one. So I kind of worry about that. But that was a huge thing. Something we'll talk about throughout this series, throughout the year.
Yeah, that was is kind of surprising, especially for someone who was a fan of TNA for a long time. And there was a while where if you wrestled for TNA, it was almost like you were blacklisted from WWE. It was like the opposite for a while. And so the idea that they were in a partnership is crazy. And yeah, to your point, I think there is probably a lot of let's take it to AEW. And I think if that's the plan, it's a very good plan, because I think that takes a lot of talent from AEW. I think it takes eyeballs from AEW. I don't know if that is their plan, but if it is, I think that's good. I think it's been good for TNA from a recognition standpoint. I think if you look at their numbers and their viewership, it's gone up since this partnership. So that's been good. So in those ways, I think it's worked really well if you're in TNA or if you are in WWE. I think those parties have really loved it. To your point about the third brand, I agree that it kind of stops the idea of a third independent brand, right? Because it is, you know, similar to like Ring of Honor isn't AEW, but it's AEW, mm-hmm. You know? It's, you know, TNA, you're basically NXT. You're kind of, you're so tied in with them at this point. Which again, if you work at TNA, probably fantastic. You're probably excited about that. And TNA is still a good show, but yeah, it is like, okay, we are clearly tied in with WWE at this point. And so I agree. I love the indies. I love that there are options for the indies. I think it would be nice if there was a bigger, I guess, nationally broadcast indie, because GCW is huge and doing yep. well, but it's not a nationally broadcast. It's hard to follow if you don't get on
Triller.
Yeah. Which a lot of people, that's a weird barrier in this day and age, you know, mm-hmm. like, let me watch it on Netflix or Peacock or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Or YouTube or something like that. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, in that regard, I am a little disappointed that they teamed up, but again, I think if you work for TNA, you work for WWE, it feels like a slam dunk. If you're AEW, I don't think it's like hurting them, but I'm sure there's a lot of talent that is harder to retain, harder to attract. And of course now TNA is now nipping at their heels. So if you're AEW, I don't know if it's like day to day, like, oh, TNA is killing us right now. But I think there's a little bit of like, oh man, we didn't sign that person because they went to TNA, or this, you know, there's, because now that's a backdoor into WWE. So
yeah, that's the thing. I my hope, and I understand talent if they do this, is if they're signing with TNA just primarily to this is my backdoor to get in. You know, that's just, again, it just from someone that's followed TNA, and they've had their ups and downs. There's a great book to be written on their history at some point, but mm-hmm. they, you know, just to use them to get to, I mean, look, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wrestlers that would do anything to get just a look, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're like, if I get TNA and if that gets me there, great, you know? And I just, for a promotion that has just survived so long on the hardcore fans and some of those talents that have been there forever, and just that feeling of like it's us against the world. I don't know. It's they're easy to root for before this, and it just becomes like you feel this creeping inevitability of what it's going to become. And I don't know if that's a good thing for the business, but I'll have to see. And if they get this TV deal that's been talked about forever, where that gets placed on the schedule, then I think things get even more interesting. But I mean, who knows? Who knows with all the ratings and all this stuff coming out? Who knows?
Yeah, I will say as a fan, especially like as like a TNA fan, personally, and this may be where I deviate from other people, maybe people hate this, I'm not a huge fan of the crossover talents all the time, every day, like happening. I don't like NXT wrestlers being TNA champions and TNA people being on NXT every single week. I mean, if it happens every now and again, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool, but I don't, and I feel the same way with AEW when they bring in a lot of New Japan people or whatever, and they're on all the time. Like, to me, it feels like it just muddies up the waters of what I'm watching. I'm like, I want to, like, if I'm watching TNA, I want to watch TNA. let me watch my TNA wrestling. If I'm watching NXT, I want to watch NXT. I don't know. It's kind of like a Marvel movie. If I go to watch Spider-Man, I don't want to see Vision and Hawkeye. I mean, sometimes they're cool to have the little cameos or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, I want to see my, this is what I'm tuning in for, not for all this other stuff and not having to remember what all these different shows are. And I guess I like, maybe I'm old here, but I like the old days when I turned on a wrestling show like TNA, I'm watching TNA. I'm not watching TNA and NXT. I don't have to keep up with everything. I can just go, this is my one show I watch and I'm into it.
I completely agree. Some I've talked about here before. I like, it's to be like if you're watching Sopranos back in the day and like Larry David from Curb, your enthusiasm comes in for a special, you know what I mean? It's like, it's the same network. It's acting, but it's still like, it's, I don't know. It maybe not the best analogy, but if I let me look, it's, I think it's the story, right? And I think we're watching Wrestling Promotions. That's the story, right? That's it.
Yes.
That's our franchise that we're watching. And yeah, there are some crossovers or appearances that can be fun, but I think when you do it so often, it also, I always look at, you know, down kind of this other group of which of the roster are not being used that could have been slotted into this position instead. And yeah, I would definitely agree with that, but I don't know. I don't think that's going away anytime soon.
No, I'm not holding my breath.
No. All right, let's go over some of these chunks of WWE news. There's a lot of them, so I'll rip through some of these and I'll kick them over to you. There was a report that turned out being true, of course, that Jordynne Grace signed a multi-year contract with WWE. Omos headed over to Japan. He won the Pro Wrestling NOAH tag team titles with Jack Morris. No, not the old Detroit Tigers pitcher, for those that know. If you know, you know. However, he didn't hold the titles very long. He eventually announced, later on in the month, announced his WWE return, and then relinquished the GHC tag team titles. The former Titan Towers headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut was sold for nearly $4 million. I actually, as a kid, went to the old Titan Towers.
Oh.
Could not get in. A very nice, we were on a tour. My family and I were on a tour of, I think we just went to like, where were we? Connecticut, then went to Pennsylvania. And like, we just went, did a whole like loop. And so my parents stopped there and Scary said, we can't let you in, but they had like some WWE cards and things like that that they gave me just to get me out of there.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I was just hoping, like, is Hulk Hogan walking around? Is Ultimate Warrior?
In their gear.
Exactly. Like. Just like this, the old, like, this is Sports Center commercials, you know what I mean?
Yes. See them just kind of there.
Well, that's when I believed, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
SmackDown was expected to return to a 2-hour format at some point. That would be months and months away. Two new Saturday Night's main event dates were advertised for May and July. The first SNME of the month happened. If you remember watching this broadcast, Spanish audio played for an extended cut at the very beginning over Joe Tessitore's audio. So you had two competing audios. And it was just so odd to hear that in WWE, where their production is like nearly flawless. There were a ton of legends there. HBK, Shawn Michaels superkicked Kevin Owens. Jesse Ventura was there. He was one of the legends. He confirmed earlier that month he was going to be at the show. He was not at the last one in November, so we don't know perhaps maybe if that run is done. But he appeared at a few of them with definitely some interesting commentary. Alexa Bliss and the company were said to be at a contract impasse that scrapped a surprise return at Raw. This was a whole story at the beginning of the year. Her agent was talking and all this. It was revealed she was voicing a character in next Netflix show, Sakamoto Days. Bayley, as part of some of the, the roster crossover, Bayley joined the Raw roster. Penta made his debut, and he was set for action the week after the Netflix debut. If you remember, a lot of people thought he was going to debut on that show, or they say it for the week after. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins signed with the management company Adventure Media. Big E voicing a character in the Marvel TV show, the Disney Plus TV show, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Braun Strowman had a very bad flu. Say he lost 36 pounds in 1 week. He was off for quite some time. Charlotte Flair set to make her return. Some vignettes aired on SmackDown. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Cody Rhodes versus John Cena was reported. It was currently planned for WrestleMania 41. And then Dakota Kai was in concussion protocol following an injury on Raw. Any thoughts on any of that?
Man, yeah, just Jordynne Grace signed with WWE, I felt like was the most easily seen action that we all saw coming a mile away. In fact, it feels like she's one of those people that feels like she's been in WWE for so long, because when she was in TNA, she was basically in NXT for so long. So it's kind of surprising. It makes me kind of surprised she's still in NXT at this point and that she's not on the main roster. Yeah. At this point. But Omos is one that's another one that feels like it was so long ago that he was the tag team champion. And that was it. It was interesting because it felt like he was getting some buzz for a while there. It's
Yeah.
kind of like, oh, Omos is like kind of cool. This like you kind of wanted him back on TV, and then they said he was coming back, and again, he never came back. It's just like
Yeah.
that's a weird thing.
They brought him, they acted like they were gonna, he was, when that happened, it was like, okay, they're clearly bringing him back to be in the mix. And it just never happened. And that was, it's like, well, it's came in when, was brought up like when Nick Khan talked about how we don't bench talent. And it's like, well, this guy is not doing anything right. It was just, it's a
Yeah.
very strange year for him. I think that it's like they have a prospect and they don't know what to do with him. They don't want to put him on the major league roster at this point. And they also don't want to put him in the minors. So what are you going to do with him? And he's not doing anything.
Yeah, which is that's why him dropping the title over there seems so weird, because at first it was like, okay, you have nothing for him. I get it. Like, maybe it's hard to write for a guy that big, but okay, he's doing something. His name is, he's still creating name value. He's doing something. It's cool. Why pull him from that if you don't have something for him? And he's not exactly one of those guys that feels like the creative would fall apart for. You know, like if you have a plan for a 7-foot giant, it's not like that's like things deviate much from that. You know what I mean? It's so that's very that's a weird thing to me. And again, it makes me wonder what's going on with Omos and like why he's not on TV. Because someone that big, even if he just comes out like once a month and choke slams somebody and then walks away, like. I mean, you got a
Yeah.
7-footer who's, I don't know. I don't, that's what I don't really get. But Titan Towers being sold kind of broke my heart too. You know, like,
The classic image. Yeah. Yep.
yeah, it's like, oh, it's gone. And now I don't know what's there now. Probably like a real estate office or something.
Actually,
But,
we're going to talk about that in just a minute.
oh,
It's revealed
perfect.
in the notes. Yes.
Oh, perfect. If I scroll down a little bit, I would see. But, yeah, it broke my heart a little bit because like I never got the chance to go to it, but like he was like, no, Titan Towers, that's where everything is. And it when it sold, it reminded me, wow, the Titan name is kind of gone in general. It's not the Titantron anymore. It's not the like everything used to be Titan
Yeah.
back in the day, and now it's all gone. And going back to the Saturday night's main event and remembering that first one is really interesting now, because the first one felt like they really cared about it and they really wanted to bring that old nostalgia back, as opposed to the most recent one, which felt very like, okay, we got to fill up a show because we have an obligation to this network to make a television show. And so it's interesting that in wrestling, how when an idea starts, everyone loves it, they're into it, there's a lot of energy behind it, and how quickly you can see that go from we're super pumped to okay, we got 2.5 hours. Let's put these guys on there. It'll be fine. You know?
Exactly. Yep. And through this series, we'll talk about certain shows that were very, very, very long and lots of content for us to watch.
Yes.
More WWE. Damian Priest, The Miz, A-Town Down Under, swap brands on SmackDown. Zelina Vega moved to SmackDown. The Wyatt Six moved to SmackDown. Tiffany Stratton cashed in on the SmackDown after the debut on Netflix. SmackDown won the WWE Women's Championship, which most people expected. Dragon Lee and his wife welcomed the birth of their second child. Goldberg was now announced to be appearing in upcoming Raw, as was JBL. Jaden McDonagh suffered broken ribs and a punctured lung in a Raw match, which it looked like a gnarly injury when he got it. But then when you get all the details afterward, it's like we had no idea. We had no idea what was
Yeah.
going on in that body. And he was very,
Yeah.
very, very lucky it did not get considerably worse, the
Yeah.
way he tells it. Kairi Sane out of action with an arm injury. I included this one because I had never heard of this nickname ever in my life, which was Kurt Angle saying, Perk Angle, the nickname brings back painful memories. I don't know. I've watched Kurt Angle his entire career. I never heard that nickname once. It is possible, but I never thought of that. The only thing I know Kurt Angle for outside just normal WWE and TNA is the meme of him staring at the camera. You know what I mean?
Right,
That's it.
yeah.
That's it. It was so we got all this sympathy for it, but again, never had any clue about this, so it's kind of weird. Lyra Valkyria was crowned the first ever WWE Women's Intercontinental Champion. Major League Soccer relocated their production to WWE headquarters.
Oh, there you go.
I think that might be the building, or it could be current headquarters. I may have to do a little bit digging, which WWE headquarters that is. But for this sake, we'll just say MLS just to wrap the story. As I mentioned, Penta debuted and defeated Chad Gable on Raw. That was a big premiere, a big debut. and something they really did right. And WWE really, when they get behind someone, if they want to debut them, between the music, they had the merch going, the mask, all that stuff, it's hard not to be like, why didn't he get this other places? But it's just
yes.
They really were like, this is a guy you have to pay attention to, and he looks cool as hell, and you're going to buy the merch, and people certainly did. And then the premiere date was revealed for the brand new, again, the year goes by. It feels like we've had the show around forever, and I still have never seen an episode. The brand new WWE LFG competition series on A&E. Thoughts about any of that?
The beginning of the year for WWE is very busy.
It always is. It really is, yeah.
They were doing so much. It's funny, Damian Priest going to SmackDown to me is interesting because it shows just how long he's been away from Judgment Day. But to me, it still feels like he's trying to shake the Judgment Day baggage, I guess. Like, he still feels like a guy who's fresh out of Judgment Day to me. And so, I mean, he's still doing his own thing, but like he still feels like that fresh out of a group guy. But he's been out of it for almost a year now.
Right, because he looks the same, right? There's no look change. Usually, that was, again, and we got so used to wrestling, is when someone wants to make a character change or a break, the look changes. So it visually is kind of like, it's different. He doesn't look any different. He looks the same.
Yeah, sounds the same too, talks the same, which is fine. Like, but yeah, it still makes you think. It's very, you know what? I think it's very... like when Roman Reigns left the Shield and he kept the same gear, kept the music and everything else. It felt a very bit that he kind of had, to me, a bit of trouble back in the day breaking away from the Shield, because the other guys got new music, new looks, but he still wore the vest, still came out to the music. Things worked out for Roman Reigns, though. Things turned out okay. The Wyatt Six also, that's one. It's interesting how hot they came back. And, well, wait, the Wyatt Six moving to SmackDown, that was after, that means they did the whole, like, return where they killed everybody in Gorilla.
That was 2024, yeah.
Okay, so, the Wyatt Six are popular, but to me, that's one of those things I think about. They moved to SmackDown almost a year ago, and it feels like for how popular they are, they haven't really done as much as I would have expected them to have done based on that return.
It's hard, right? It's hard. These characters. It was hard when they had Bray, and they hard when they did the Fiend. Is they never knew. They never knew, especially with the Fiend character, what to do. You can't do that character every week, because then it just becomes part of the show. It has to be these very special, almost like Andre the Giant back. You have to. He comes in like almost. He comes in wreck shop, and you know, oh shit, this is going to be pretty good. Or so we're going to have something. This means something.
Yeah,
it was just kind of in the mix. And I think this is the group where it's like they want to keep this connection to Bray Wyatt and to honor him and so on. But it's tough to have them always in the mix because it loses that special kind of thing. They have always had these problems of kind of the supernatural, kind of the weird, kind of like they can't just be normal people, because then it's too easy to see through. And then it's like, well, what do I care about? There's enough normal people. We need kind of weirdos, but also not every week weirdos. You know what I mean?
Right. And exactly. I agree. And it's also tricky because you get the, who do you have them face? Cause if they're supposed to be scary supernatural people, you need people who are going to be able to react to that. But there's only so many times you can have them face someone who's like, oh, I'm scared of you, before you're like, okay, we get it. But at the same time, if you have a wrestler who's like, I'm not scared of you, well, then that kills the whole magic of it too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so it's a very tricky thing to do. And especially, I think when you look back at the Undertaker was great, but the Undertaker was one guy. Well, this is a whole group of people that you've got to figure out what to do with. Tiffany Stratton cashing in reminds me how long her run has been. Cause I know she's had that championship for a while, but wow, it's almost been a year. And JD McDonagh, I guess, last thing here is, that was, it definitely looked like it hurt, but then when you find out what happened, like, man, I'm kind of surprised he didn't like die out there. That was like a crazy situation they were in.
Yep. So we'll correct the record here. Major League Soccer moved the studio production into a new WWE headquarters, and the old Stamford, Connecticut Titan Towers at 1241 East Main Street. I just looked this up. Being planned for conversion into an apartment complex.
Oh, Imagine finding out your bathroom is where a Tyrannosaurus Rex statue
Yeah,
used to be,
I
or a
know.
skull used to be. That's
Yeah.
it.
Oh my God.
Like,
Yeah. It was yeah. I mean, yeah, that'd be kind of cool to be have like an apartment there. Like if they kept some sort of historical, there's certainly some issues there with Vince's office, clearly. But there must be other parts that are kind of like, oh, this is a little bit better. So yeah.
Like, yeah, this is where Baron Corbin threw Rey Mysterio off the side of the
There you
building
go. See, exactly.
during
Exactly.
Money in the Bank.
Exactly. All right, we'll wrap up WWE. This section, a bunch of reports to start. There were significant discussions about Nikki Bella's return, which of course would be true. There's a report that Triple H was going to be headlining the Hall of Fame class for 2025. True. There was a report that ring announcers were changing brands. True. Lillian Garcia and Alicia Taylor did that. Roman Reigns was revealed as a cover star for 2K25. They announced a release date. Stephanie McMahon has revealed she was going to host an WWE interview show for ESPN Plus as her continuation back into the WWE mainstream continued. Steve Austin underwent total knee replacement surgery. We learned 7 weeks prior to this when this story came out. So a lot of people thinking, oh, that he could be cleared for Mania. That did not happen. The Rock was awarded nearly $14 million worth of TKO stock, part of his deal with them. This would get allotments vested throughout the year. So the rich get richer, and he might need a new gold toilet or something like that. Who knows? His own another dinosaur head, a Tyrannosaur head for him, Tyrannosaurus Rex. TKO in Saudi Arabia reportedly set to launch a boxing league. Of course, that would be a lot of crossover with WWE. Vince McMahon reached a settlement with the SEC after violating the Securities Exchange Act. So one of his legal situations finally had a conclusion there. And of course, more to come on Vince throughout the year. The 2K mobile game was set to be released by Netflix Games. Again, more 2K25. They announced a Dead Man edition of the game. Bloodline Showcase mode, new features, match types. I don't play video games, so I read this stuff and I have no idea what it means. So I leave that to everyone else. WWE and Topps reunited for a long-term trading card partnership. Company announced Clash in Paris, a PLE coming for later in the year. Excuse me. As I mentioned earlier, multi-year deal with Hogan's American Beer, Real American Beer. We mentioned that. They announced a new slate of TV dates for Road to WrestleMania. They announced the on-sale date for Mania 41 for the individual night tickets, not the packages. They announced a partnership with a shared reality company called Cosm. Have not heard anything about it since. They confirmed that the 2026 World Rumble was set to be held in Saudi Arabia. And finally, Hall of Famer and baseball legend Bob Uecker passing away at the age of 90. Thoughts about any of that?
I forgot that the Royal Rumble is going to be in Saudi Arabia
2 months. Yeah,
in
just
two
over 2 months.
months. I totally, because I got so I my brain went to WrestleMania is going to be in Saudi Arabia the following year. So now I totally forgot about that. That was their sleight of hand move there. They made me forget about the Royal Rumble being over there by announcing WrestleMania over there. Yeah, a lot of big announcements here. And as far as the wrestling games go, I used to play the wrestling games all the time, but then their 2020 edition was so bad, I gave up on them and I haven't played one since. I've been told they're better now, but I'm just like, yeah, okay. You had me hooked, and then you lost me. I'm moving on, as happens in entertainment. Yeah, this is where I think we were really seeing just how big the new partnerships were really going to be with all the ESPN stuff, with all the signings for different out of the country shows. And I think this time of the year was where we really started to feel like, at least if I recall correctly, like TKO and WWE are going to be so much bigger than we've ever seen them before, because obviously Netflix was still fresh. Again, you're seeing the ESPN deals, you're seeing the Saudi Arabia, you're seeing Paris again, you're seeing all these different things. And my takeaway from this was always just that, man, for as big as we always thought WWE was, it was nothing yet. And now we're seeing it continue to grow.
Yeah, it's only going to get bigger. Yeah, it's in so many different ways. And yeah, you mentioned Saudi Arabia. That's going to be a big topic of discussion throughout the year in this series. Let's flip to AEW Ring of Honor. Per usual in this series, they don't have big Januaries, and because they don't have any main pay-per-view, no real big event. So it's just kind of they kind of really ease into the year. Same with February. So we'll see if that's the case again this year, but I'm going to assume so. So we'll split this up into two chunks. This one I had this is so funny. So Dynamite, of course, the Max simulcast began. the era of the first week. Mm-hmm. TBS, TNT, HBO Max, and fans watching Dynamite, that first episode, may have thought, is there a like extended music video playing here? What's going on here? No, it's a brand new Dynamite theme song, the Pointer Sisters, I'm So Excited, from the 1980s. And I just, it was one of those things like, is this a rib? Like, what's going on here? It just did not fit. So, you know, mm-hmm. John Moxley, Darby Allin, and the gang going... just doing their thing. It's so funny. It lasted, I think, about 3 weeks, and then it just disappeared. And
yes.
The Elton John song, of course, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, returned as the AEW Collision opening song for 2025. So some music changes there. Jeff Jarrett, this is one I forgot about. Jeff Jarrett announced he signed a new one-year contract. He was going to finish his in-ring career at AEW. He was going to go for that world title.
Yep.
And that did not last long either. AEW Dynamite replay set to air on True TV. There's update on Archive Max content, of course, with the kickoff to the new deal. Of course, we're going to get all this stuff up on Max, which did happen for the most part. Nearly everything is up at this point, and throughout the year, more and more stuff was put up there. Adam Copeland changes ring name to Cope at Fight for the Fallen, which just did not work at all. Nope. JoJo Offerman worked as a ring announcer prior to AEW Collision. AEW announced the first ever Women's Casino Gauntlet match. Jake Roberts said he was doing a little bit better after hospitalization for pneumonia. Dynamite Maximum Carnage at Dynamite and also Collision in Cleveland, I believe, Cincinnati, actually. Kenny Omega made his AEW in-ring return on the show against Brian Cage. MVP made his promotional in-ring debut during this. Megan Bain made her debut on Dynamite, Maximum Carnage. She actually appeared on AEW Dark or Dark Elevation before and then mm-hmm. Blew out her knee and then was just gone. But then this is her Dynamite debut. The Acclaim broke up on Collision. Samoa Joe returned to AEW after a lengthy absence. I believe this is when he was filming Twisted Metal. A match between him and Nick Wayne was set to take place the next week, and it got postponed due to travel issues. Kind of this weird thing. Malakai Black was believed to be done in AEW. Ross and Marshall Von Erich announced they had signed with the company. Taya Valkyrie was working to help LA communities amid the wildfires there earlier this year. Darby Allin set to take time off to prep for the Mount Everest climb. And Action Bronson on the Era Hawaii show said, I never get called back by AEW. Backstage is weird over there. Thoughts about any of that?
This feels like such an AEW month, doesn't it? Where just there's so much stuff happening at any given time. And some of it is great. Some of it is very random. And you're like, what is this all about? But the Pointer Sisters, I'm So Excited, is in hindsight, so funny looking back on it. And I remember when it happened also being like, because yeah, it went on forever. But I was also like, why are they playing this song? And like, look, I'm not, no shade to the Pointer Sisters, but it's like, why are we playing this song that's like 40 years old and it's not really a fight song? It's not like, it's like a weird pop song from like the 80s, right? The 80s. It just seems like, and I remember thinking, I was getting crabby because I was like, this is supposed to be the cool new company that like is supposed to attract people to go, hey, forget the old company, come to look at this new company. We're playing this 1980s song to start the show.
And it's not like a cool song like the Animotion from Saturday Night's Main Event, right? Where it just has this kind of thing to it. It's just like, it's like, you're right, it's an 80s pop song. It doesn't fit the mood of a wrestling show at all.
Yeah, it's the kind of song that like my mom would say she loved, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why this one? Yeah, and it's not like, you know, like FTR's theme's got like a little 80s kind of old school 70s kind of vibe to it, like, which is cool. But yeah, this is like I was like, what? And even like Elton John's song, it's old, but at least it's about fighting, you know, Saturday Night's All Right for a Fight. Like, okay, whatever. And that's and that may be the vibe of that. But like, so all your shows are old, like songs and stuff. And you're supposed to be the cool new company that plays all this old music. That just made me super crabby for some reason. I remember at the time being so upset about it that they did that. I was like, no, you got to play something like new and cool or something that like young people will hear and be like, oh, I should watch this. Not something that yeah, is this old? But it was funny. It is kind of funny though how it went on forever throughout that. And yeah, Jeff Jarrett, the 1 year contract. You know, I thought they could have gotten some mileage out of Jeff Jarrett in that role, a little bit more than they did. I know some people have strong feelings about him, but I think when he really wants to like cut a good promo and like make it like have a serious moment, I think he can do a pretty good job. I think they probably could have got a little bit more out of him with a bit of a like, this is my last chance, my last opportunity. I want to make the most of it kind of thing. But
Most people thought he was going to be in the Owen and like make it to the finals and at least have the big spirited run, and that it just didn't happen. It's just like he had a few matches and it just poof disappeared. It looked like it
yeah.
was going to be his big thing with with MJF, and they just changed course.
Yeah, there's MJF feels like he's had a few things where he's been working with people and then suddenly it just changes course over this year. Like the Hurt Syndicate and stuff like that. But I won't step all over your other episodes with that. The ring name to cope, I remember thinking that, oh, this is not gonna catch on. This is not gonna work out. And it did not work out. I don't know what the thought process was, probably to make it the one syllable like Edge thing, but yeah, cope just never worked for me. But Maximum Carnage, lots of crazy stuff happened there. Megan Bain, I think, is someone who, for some reason, is she still feels like she's trying to get her footing as far as being a regular on Dynamite, but I feel like she's someone who should be on every single show. She's fantastic. And I feel the same way with Ross and Marshall Von Erich. Maybe not on every show, but I remember them signing and feeling like they kind of like, I'm surprised no one signed them sooner and put them on TV sooner, considering how popular the Iron Claw was, and like just capitalizing on that. I would have figured once that movie came out, I was like, oh man, these two are going to get signed right away and be on TV right away, to sort of pair that and go, hey, they're like those guys from the Iron Claw, watch this show. But even now, they're still not on TV, which is weird to me. And Malakai Black, I think we all saw coming a mile away. I don't know what the deal was with him, but I think that it doesn't take a super analytical person to see that something just felt weird about him in AEW. And so him leaving, I don't think shocked anyone.
No. Jeff Jarrett has wrestled more recently for AAA than he has for AEW. If
Huh.
that gives you any sense of how much things have changed this year. He
Yeah.
wrestled for AAA in March, and he wrestled his last AEW match was this month, January 29th.
So I wonder if he will actually end his career in AEW then, because
I don't know.
technically that's not the case.
Guess not. He's still in the pre-show and everything for pay-per-views, but yeah, he's what a life. What a life.
Yeah.
Second chunk of things for Ring of Honor and AEW. Ring of Honor celebrated 100 episodes on the Honor Club platform. The company filed a Captain Insano trademark ahead of a potential Paul White return, which a lot of people thought was going to be a Grand Slam Australia because that's where he wanted to return. That did not happen. Pay-per-view distribution expanded to Amazon Prime. AEW was reportedly among the top streamed live sports events on Max. We don't really have any real background on that. Why? It was just a story, I believe, that came out in Fightful, and that was it. The company revealed their broadcast plans for Grand Slam Australia. This whole thing was a complete mess because was it going to be live? Was it going to be a pay-per-view? Was it going to be this? Was it going to be this? On Dynamite, they actually said they had a start time, and then that was actually changed, and that was incorrect. And it was very like cloak and dagger, like hidden stuff for the time for a TV show and how people are going to watch it. And there's nearly no explanation ever as to why that was. Britt Baker, the rumors about her were blown way out of proportion, according to multiple people in AEW. And I think these were rumors about maybe the backstage issues, the MJF thing and all this stuff. But she just, again, it's been this long story with her of like, what is going on? Nobody believes Tony Khan when he says that she's just on the bench or she's gonna be back. So they're like, it doesn't make any sense. Brody King and Buddy Matthews both filing for similar trademarks, Hounds of Hell, and then Buddy Matthews filing for the Hellhounds after Brody King filed that. Chris Daniels confirmed the end of his in-ring career, both on Dynamite and social media. So his long illustrious run comes to an end. Maria Kanellis announced her departure from the company, and seem to be threatening to spill some tea. We still have not seen that at this point. Philadelphia set to host Dynasty in April. Powerhouse Hobbs suffered a legitimate injury and then in a match with Mark Davis, and his planned collision match was postponed. Ricky Starks, again, how much of the year has changed, reportedly was denied his AEW release at this point after making a request. Roosh made his in-ring return at Collision. Soraya said she was ready to come back, but wouldn't rule out a return to WWE. Sting announced his 2025 or never convention tour. The Hurt Syndicate won the AEW tag team titles over Private Party, who have not been seen from since, except on Instagram, looking giant as ever. And then Timeless Toni Storm, that character, made her return on Collision after a brief end following her last title loss. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, this felt like a dark time for AEW this month because, yeah, I remember all the stuff with Grand Slam Australia and the timing changes. And to me, and as you alluded to and said, like, it's a TV show. Like, if you're not going to be clear about when I'm supposed to watch it, how am I supposed to watch this show? And it was very elusive, very weird. And this is where there was just so many rumors of wrestlers who were being iced or benched or wanted out but couldn't get out. And again, I don't know what was going on with like Ricky Starks. I don't know what's going on with Britt Baker. I'm not gonna pretend I know the truth to these things, but you look at like Ricky Starks today, and I look at Malakai Black, for instance, who also left, and it just feels like if you're not going to use somebody and they want to leave, the best thing to do is just let them go, because it's just going to make you look bad. Like at the end of the day, they are eventually going to leave, and they're going to be successful or not successful regardless. And I felt like there was a little bit of egg on AEW's face during this time because, you know, they could have just let Rick been the bigger person. Like, okay, hey, we don't have plans for you. If you want to leave, feel free to go pursue something else, and maybe not looked as jerky as they kind of did by saying, no, we're not going to use you. No, you can't go over to them. We don't want you to be on their show. And he ends up there anyways. Yeah. You know,
it's the code of silence that is just so odd of like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you have 4 hours of TV a week. You can't find a way to use him. And again, if you're just keeping him, to that point, you're just making him into a bigger name when he does go. And again, it creates more of a sympathy for the person of just like, wow, they're really getting screwed here, that they can't, they're making money, but they can't actually do what they're signed to make money for. And if there was some egregious issue, then that's one thing. But at that point, if it's that egregious, you just let them go just because you think they might go, or there's a bit of spite or something happened. I don't know. This happens way too much in AEW for it to be a coincidence. You'll hear this a lot in WWE these days. I'm sure it happens quietly, but I mean, it happened more often, you know, with John Huber back, because he want, you know, when wrestlers are more confident saying, I've asked for my release and I'm hoping to get it. And they were just kind of like, I'm at the end of my road. There's nothing else I can do, so I might as well go to social media and tell people. You don't see that anymore in WWE. And yeah, in AEW, it's a much different situation of just this code of silence, which only adds to online chatter and speculation. And this must be happening. This must be happening. I don't think it's good for a young company.
No, exactly. And it's because it's not clear what it is. Like Ricky Starks, it was never really clear. I mean, we could hypothesize about, there's rumors about him being on the video to see Cody Rhodes. I can't remember what show that was, but like, you can kind of guess, but you don't really know. But also, Ricky Starks was one of those guys that there's no reason he shouldn't be on TV, even if he's just losing every week. You know what I mean? Like, he's talented. Like, have him doing something, you know? Even if you're like, I know you're going to leave, but like, I know you're going to leave. Like, at least have him go out there and like put people over. Like, why is he not on TV? Like, sure. There's nothing about, you know, you have him not on TV, but then you have local guy number 7 losing to Brody King or whatever. And you're like, well, that could have been Ricky Starks. Why not have someone with some star power can cut a promo, do whatever in the meantime.
And help out someone on the way out to make them bigger. And yeah, I mean, there's so many people are friends, you know, and they're just like, yeah, I'd like to help this person. It's this whole like cyclical thing about wrestling is you help each other out. And especially if you're on the way out and you're doing it right way. And yeah, it's very surprising. Yeah.
And it hurts, I think, long term too, when you have someone like a Britt Baker who's in that situation now, where, you know, that there's rumors about why maybe she's not on TV. And if you're like, oh no, that's not it, we just don't have something for her. It's like, really? Like all the other people you didn't have something for? Like, if she was the only person, then I would say, okay, well, there must be something going on. I don't know. Like, I give them the benefit of the doubt. But like, when there's so many people it's happened to, you start to go, okay, this is weird. Something must be weird back there. And it makes the speculation worse. It's like the old monster in a horror movie thing. Like, if I see it, it's nothing. But if I have to imagine it myself, you know, if I just see the carnage it caused, I'm like, oh, this is scary.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a kind of a dark time for AEW, looking back at this and remembering all this stuff, I think, in January.
Let's go to NXT. Not a ton of stuff here. Of course, I almost combined NXT and TNA, but I held back. Oba Femi won the NXT championship at New Year's Evil. Julia won the women's title at that same show. Corey Graves joined the NXT commentary team. I forgot all about this. This is this whole thing. If he said he was kind of upset about getting essentially demoted. This whole thing with him, and like, he feels like he should be on Raw. You know, Pat McAfee's there, and he'd made some comments about that. He tweeted, you know, I got a lot to say on WNXT tonight, and then he didn't appear. He was taken off the show. He didn't appear until a week later. That whole thing happened. So, you know, again, this is back in January. I haven't heard much about it since, but just some kind of file away if that day comes. The Rock met with Ava and Ethan Page and addressed the Cody Rhodes controversy on NXT. If you remember, just mentioned a few minutes ago, he had this promo on Raw. So the next night, he was live on NXT on the CW. Actually, it wasn't the first show on the CW. I came down. I cannot remember.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But anyway, he appeared the next night, his daughter and so on. And he addressed it in this he came out and did this in-ring promo, and it seemed like he got lost or didn't know what he wanted to say, but he wanted to say something. And he was kind of like being a little bit of a heel, and then he wasn't. It was one of those promos where, again, this guy so many times is just complete money. And at this moment, it's just like, what's happening right now? It was right. So strange. Go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. Bayley, Masha Slamovich from TNA and DIY made appearances on NXT. The company announced they're bringing a special episode to Cincinnati. They revealed the dates and locations for Vengeance Day and Stand and Deliver. We learned that a show called NXT Evolve, at least we thought it was going to be NXT Evolve, but Evolve, the brand, returning in the works for 2025. That had been really a story for like a couple of years as far as where are they doing, how are they doing it, and so on. And Lindsay Dorado, a name you hadn't heard in quite some time, returned to WWE. He's a producer and working at the Performance Center and appeared at an NXT house show. I believe he's made a AAA appearance as part of their relationship, but not a main roster guy, but a guy that's kind of behind the scenes producer and can still go when he wants to. Thoughts about any of that?
The Corey Graves thing doesn't seem like it was that long ago. So that feels like it was like 3 months ago. It doesn't feel like it was a year ago. Oba Femi, I think, winning the championship, to me, I'm a huge fan of Oba Femi, and I feel like he is someone who has proven time and again he's ready for the main roster for my dollar. But The Rock being there, yeah, that was another weird. It felt like I feel like one of those things where, like, have you ever been to a wedding and the best man goes up to give a toast and he's like, you know, I had something written, but I'm just going to make this up, you know, speak from the heart. And you're just like, don't do this, man. Just go with what was written.
Yeah, exactly.
and it kind of felt like that, like where he was saying stuff and like, and I think maybe he overthought it. Like maybe like, oh, if I tease heel and tease face, then I'll leave some breadcrumbs to do different things or whatever. And it was like, no, you didn't. You overthought it. Just go out there, be fun, say what you need to say. But yeah, it was really weird. My biggest takeaway from all this, though, and I'm surprised we haven't seen something come from it, though, was Ethan Page talking to The Rock. And The Rock, what was cool about seeing him on NXT is the NXT, we're always looking at like who the future stars are. But you never really know how big a star is until they're standing next to a star, you know, like that. Like, it's one thing to say, Trick Williams looks like a star standing next to a member of Dark State, for instance, today. It's a different thing to say Trick Williams looks like a star if he's standing next to Cody Rhodes. That's another star. The Rock, about as big of a star as you can get, is talking to Ethan Page. And I felt like Ethan Page absolutely held his ground in that moment. And absolutely, now I'm not going to say Ethan Page is a bigger star than The Rock. I'm not going that far. But it also didn't feel like, oh, this is some developmental guy who is teeth are chattering in fear in front of The Rock. You know what I mean? He felt like, oh, I could see him standing there on Raw talking to people. And it kind of surprises me that that happened and this much time has passed and he's been killing it all year and he's still not called up to the main roster. I'm sure they have their reasons, but I saw in that moment, I was like, oh, he's ready. Main roster.
I think what you're saying is Ethan Page should have replaced The Rock in the movie The Smashing Machine, and it would have done $250 million at the box office. Get that headline.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Ethan Cruz and Ethan Page also should be in Jumanji 3 and take all those roles.
Exactly. He should be with Emily Blunt on screen, not
Yes.
the Dwayne Johnson. So the Corey Graves thing, just to wrap on this. So he had is was part of the shift, the commentary shift when Raw moved to Netflix and so on and so forth. So Graves got moved back to NXT with Vic Joseph, Booker T. He was on SmackDown, but then Pat McAfee was back. Michael Cole and McAfee were back on Raw. Joe Testor and Wade Barrett on SmackDown. So there was a lot of, he had said that he wasn't famous enough for Raw and SmackDown. And imagine chasing your dream, then being told, not deciding, that you're no longer physically able to pursue your dream. Then you dedicate your life to something dream adjacent, being pretty effing awesome at it. And then when it's time to enjoy the fruits of your labor, ... ellipses. I got a lot to say. Don't miss NXT tonight. And he was pulled for a week. So I don't think it was an angle. I think it was, I think he was pissed. And they said, well, we're not taking this risk. So
And
who knows?
it's
What could have
fair
happened?
on his part, by the way.
Yeah,
You know, you gotta stand
absolutely.
up for yourself sometimes.
TNA, Joe Hendry won the world title at Genesis, defeating Nick Nemeth. Mackenzie Mitchell returned to the business as a ring announcer on that show. The company honored Jordynne Grace after Genesis, declaring her forever champ. Of course, she was going to be on her way to WWE. And I keep going through this. I'm like, where's the Royal Rumble? Why isn't anything in here about this? It's because it was held in February, and I'm so used to being a January pay-per-view. PLE, and now it's in this. So this is all the build toward this. Fraxium, Cora Jade, Ariana Grace, and Ashanti the Adonis are among NXT surprises at Genesis. Jonathan Gresham's TNA wrestling contract expired. Jordynne Grace denied the Royal Rumble rumors. She said she was going to her mom's birthday and all this stuff, and all the things, all the game that we all that they all play, and we all kind of know what's up. Mance Warner made his TNA debut on Impact. Frankie Kazarian signed a new contract. Mustafa Ali returned to the company, announced he had signed a deal. JBL appeared on Live Impact to help Hendry. I include this in here because this is the strangest storyline one of them I've seen in the last like 5, 10 years. He appears in his duster. He knocks people out. He did an indie show this past weekend. And then leaves. And this whole thing played out in Impact the same way. Nothing ever came of it, and they just dropped it. And no one knows what's happening. It's so weird. It's so strange. PCO, I put this in here in this section, destroying the TNA digital media title at the People versus GCW event. He was very upset about TNA. So he was offered a deal and a pay cut and didn't like it, so he just destroyed the title. Raven made a surprise TNA Impact appearance. Of course, he had a very long run there in the company. They announced a live episode of Impact at Full Sail University for February. Jake something got injured and needed surgery. He was out for a considerable amount of time. And the company re-signed Ash by Elegance, Masha Slamovich, and John Skyler to contracts. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, my biggest takeaways, I think Mustafa Ali signing with TNA is one of TNA's best signings in a very long time. I think that was a big moment for them. I think he's crushing. I'm a huge Ali fan. So I think that was really, really good on them. And it's interesting seeing the people who were surprises at NXT or from NXT that were at Genesis. No, I don't think any of them are on NXT anymore. Ariana Grace, I guess, is
She's still there, but yeah,
still there.
Cora Jade cut, Ashante cut, Fraxium is on a WWE main roster, and Grace is, yeah, she's still there as a liaison because of her and Santino, yeah.
And so it makes me wonder looking back if WWE at the time knew that they were all kind of on their way out, and so that's why they put them there to sort of see how they acted in a different environment. or if that just is a weird coincidence there. Because, yeah, I think all of them pretty much, I think that all of them pretty much made a move pretty quickly after this, I think, if I recall correctly. But yeah, the PCO thing too, I remember being like, at the time it was so bizarre. Like, it was like, wait, what happened? What was this all about? Was he, because everyone seemed kind of surprised, but it definitely didn't feel storyline driven. And so it was like, and at the time I didn't know what he was upset about. So it was just like, wait, why did he destroy it? What's he doing? What's this all about? It was an interesting time.
We'll go through Japan. I always say this with a caveat. I don't watch Japanese wrestling, not because I don't like it. Just, I know what's going on. I can't speak eloquently to it at all. So we'll go through this and see if anything sticks out. Athena won a tag match in her Stardom debut. I believe it's her first ever match in Japan, which is crazy. Ty Mello made her return to the ring after a very long absence in AEW. She gave birth. But then again, it was kind of like, where is she? she kept saying, I believe in the last year in the series, she said, I'm ready to go. It was months and months and months and months. And then finally, returning to Japan, of all places. Pro Wrestling Noah declared the GHT tag team titles vacant after Omos bounced from the company. Kenny Omega made his wrestling return at Wrestle Dynasty, of course, before his AEW return. Took on Gabe Kidd in a very well-received match. Zack Sabre Jr. took on Ricochet. Momo Watanabe won the International Women's Cup during the Wrestle Dynasty pre-show. Mercedes Moné won the Rev Pro British Women's Royal title for Mina Shirakawa. Again, this was the crossover show with kind of like Forbidden Door, New Japan style. Young Bucks won the tag team titles, the IWGP tag team titles for the first time in a very long time. Chris Charlton, this was a story. Commentator was put on indefinite hiatus after he had some anti-AEW commentary at Wrestle Dynasty during like the Gabe Kidd match. And he was just railing on AEW. I can't remember what specific things he said, but there are a few things. It was just kind of like, wow, that's okay. But they took him off the show, and he was gone, I think, for about a month or so. Battle in the Valley happened again. It had Gabe Kidd versus Tomohiro Ishii. Takeshita took on Kushida. Sumi Sakai, the big news out of that, officially retiring on that show. We also, of course, had Wrestle Kingdom 19. Zack Sabre Jr. against Shota Umino in the main event. We had a junior title match between Doki. And El Desperado stopped due to injury. Desperado was declared the winner. He had Yota Tsuji defeating Dave Finley for the global title. Takeshita, big year for him. I think much bigger things are to come. Winning the never open weight title over Shingo Takagi. El Fantasma won the New Japan World TV title. And Robbie Eagles and Kosei Fujita won the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. Kami and Gordon held their New Year's Dash show. They announced their international schedule for 2025. The date for Hiroshi Tanahashi's final U.S. match and the upcoming major event schedule for them. Sho Makeda was injured. He had to miss the remainder of their New Beginning tour. And that final U.S. match was against Konosuke Takeshita. It was official for Windy City Riot. United Japan Pro Wrestling Incorporated, that's kind of this group that fuses all these different groups together, outlines some of their future goals. And then Takeshita said he is now affiliated with both New Japan, AEW, and DDT. So he's a man that's going to keep that passport going and is going to be working nonstop. And yeah, I think big things for him. And overall, I think a big year for Takeshita in 2025.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I follow Japanese wrestling kind of at a distance. Yeah. So I stay up to date on the headlines and the and whatnot in social media. But I actually like it whenever I watch it. But probably like you, after I watch all this WWE, all this AEW, I check out TNA. At some point, I'm like, I gotta sleep. You know? So I don't watch it as closely. But man, I'm looking back on this, and it's a reminder to Takeshita quietly may be having one of the best years in pro wrestling this year. And because you see it, I mean, obviously he's recently done well, but yeah, even looking back in January, he was crushing it over in Japan. And you see AEW trying to capitalize on it a bit, but man, it feels like New Japan Pro Wrestling. I always think like if Takeshita is dating AEW, then New Japan Pro Wrestling is like that guy at the campfire with the acoustic guitar. It's like, like singing songs. And I don't know, man, AEW, if you're not careful, New Japan Pro Wrestling might steal this guy out from under you, because they seem to be wooing him pretty well in 2025.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we'll it'd be very interesting to see what happens next year for sure. And I think it'd be a crime if he didn't end 2026 as at least one, some sort of run with AEW world title. I think he's, I've said this before, said a couple times last week on the show. I think he wins a Continental Classic. I think he beats Okada in the finals. And this is what this whole thing is leading to. And it makes perfect sense. And it's going to be good. The people want it. You're going to have that moment. And then he's going to really, I think he's going to have a kill. If AEW is smart, he's going to have a killer 2026. And I think it should be some sort of world title run at some point, because I think he's there. The people know it. And look, take a few chances. And I think it'd be a pretty safe bet with Takeshita.
I love that too, because it's, I was with AEW, the more you can have and feature people and things that WWE have never had before, the better. And they've never had Takeshita. And I don't think they've had a wrestler like Takeshita as their world champion. Or I'm trying to quickly do the math. I was thinking Shinsuke, but Shinsuke never won the championship.
They won the world title, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's something that they can hang their hat on and be like, look, this is different. This is how we're different than them. And I think he's shown over the past year he can be the guy. He can be that guy. And so I'm with you. I think he should get a world title shot.
Yep. The boldest thing would be a world title match between Takeshita and Bandido at a pay-per-view. Yeah. To headline. That'd be the boldest thing. One of the boldest things they could do. Two guys who English is not their native language. Mm-hmm. International stars say, this is the promise. This is what part of what we did this whole thing for, is to make things like this possible and to have fans accept. If people can't see this, I'm pointing to the fans that are right here.
Yes.
And all that stuff. Yeah. But we'll see what happens. Yeah.
I agree too. Cause Bandido's so cool. He's just cool. I don't know. I feel like if that, also to your point, to catch the Bandido, if I had a friend who'd never watched wrestling before, I feel like that'd be the kind of match you put on and like bring him to and see just two totally different people have a cool matchup. I'm with you. I'm co-signing on this one. Let's do it.
I love it. I love it. Yep. I mean, look, they have that history now. They have that Ring of Honor world title match and start to kind of build that lineage and add to that. So that's good. Let's go to the junk drawer. This is the best of everything that did not fit. These people are not junk, but all these things did not fit. Any other categories. Matt Riddle won the MLW world title. Quite a year for him. Baron Corbin, a.k.a. Bishop Dyer, filed a trademark for his new name, which is Bishop Dyer. He's announced for his GCW debut with the Hammerstein Ballroom as part of the People vs. GCW, where he wrestled as Tom Pestock. Sabu was announced for the Hammerstein Ballroom show as well. Booker T defeated Silvatu at a reality of wrestling event. I put this in here because I still understand why he had to defeat him. I know there's kind of like an angle and stuff, but Zilla seems to be kind of one of the guys that's up next. And usually you have him beat the veteran, but I don't, maybe some long-term things. Yeah. It's all the story, man, or whatever Triple H said. Dark Side of the Ring revealed their episode topics for season 6. GCW announced a Josh Barnett's Bloodsport event for London. A lot of shows there this year as that brand kind of grows. Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling announced their Toronto debut at a historic venue, which is the old Maple Leaf Gardens. Aussie Jones issued a statement. This is after some of the issues from 2024. Now, he was taking legal action against his accuser of domestic violence. His former partner detailed in detail quite a bit these horrific acts of alleged abuse. FSW, Las Vegas Indie Promotion, announced they're going to hold a Chris Bay benefit show, which they did. Rob Van Dam shared an update saying it's going to be a long journey, and kind of when he's saying some of the things about Chris Bay, I don't know if it was in this interview throughout the year, maybe revealed like a little bit too much information, saying, oh, I don't know if he's going to be able to walk again, all this. And then, yeah, I mean, look, one of the best stories of the year was Chris Bay being able to walk again, telling his story. And I saw him lifting in the gym the other day. So it's good. It's a great, something that could have been really tragic. He's turning into a story that I think is, as he says, the greatest story ever told. Amazing Red, set to be inducted in the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame. The former Iconics reunited for their first tag team match since 2022. They would make it back to TNA later in the year. The former Tegan Knox, Nixon Newell, entered free agency, and she was set for her first indie match. Josh Alexander was revealed he was going to miss his final scheduled indie booking as the buzz around where he was going to go started to increase. Progress revealed the opponent for Michael Satomura's retirement tour match, which was the other Rio, R-H-I-O, a lot of Rios in the wrestling world. Of course, I keep bringing up People versus GCW. Sabu appeared at the show. It was revealed he was going to have his retirement match at Joey Janela's Spring Break. As I mentioned, Baron Corbin / Tom Pestock debuted. Effie won their world title. We had new tag team champs, as well as a new ultra-violent / extreme unified champion. Allie Catch suffered a broken leg at a spot in the outside of the ring during the show. I think she finally just returned to action in the last month or so. Black Bart passed away after a battle of cancer. And Sweet Daddy Siki passed away at the age of 91. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, the Chris Bay story and the benefit show, it was cool to see everyone come together to help him out. And like you said, it's cool to see him doing so well after all that. So that I remember standing out to me a lot, obviously. Amazing Red going into the Indy Hall of Fame stood out to me because I feel like, how is he not already in there? An absolute legend. He's someone who I don't know if the world will give him the credit he deserves for how influential he has been to pro wrestling and how great he was. If you're someone who hasn't watched indie wrestling, you probably haven't seen much of him. And so it's cool that he's in the Hall of Fame there. I think it's good that he's getting some kind of recognition in that regard. Just incredible. But Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling is something that I was really excited about and I'm still excited about. And it's cool to see them doing shows. And so that was a big moment for me that I really, really enjoyed. And of course, Sabu, unfortunately, obviously has passed away since. But to see him announced, I was a big Sabu fan. And Sabu was someone who, for me, was always just this like cool, mysterious, like in crazy person, you know, in ECW. And so I was always just fascinated by Sabu, especially because like he was someone who, as a fan, I was a fan of him before I had ever figured out how to look into the other side of pro wrestling. You know, like I didn't know, I all I knew was what I saw on the shows. So I didn't know anything about who he was in real life or who, how booking worked or anything. I was like, oh man, this guy's crazy, you know? And so I remember being really excited to hear that he was going to get to do some cool stuff with GCW. And I'm glad he was able to.
Yeah, it was a, Sabu run. And one of the, I say the cool things following his passing, one of the cool things following his passing was how all these stories came out and there was a renewed appreciation and people really kind of like the y'all must have forgot type thing, right? And mm-hmm. the fact of just like he innovated here, he influenced this person times 20. Yes. And sometimes because there's so much stuff we focus on the now, we focus on the past when something bad happens. But also, I think it has people come out of the woodwork and say, yeah, this he influenced all these people. And because of all this, you have all the stuff that you're watching now in this style. And that's a cool thing. I thought about when he – one of my favorite memories was when he debuted on Raw. And he jumped off the Raw sign and yeah. he slipped on the way down. He slipped when he was pushing off. He told a story about this. Like he slipped and he had kind of an awkward landing down, but I remember as a kid, you know, younger person watching that, and I was like, "This is so cool." That's like the crossover stuff. Like, how is this happening? Like, this is the coolest mm-hmm. thing I've seen, and that was kind of part of that ECW invasion and all that. That was those are things that I remember. And it's great to see people share stories in a way of just like, and but also stories I think that made people realize how influential he was. It's too bad people didn't do it when he was alive to that extent, yeah. but afterwards, I mean, that's just kind of what happened. So it was a. That was a cool thing to have happen after his passing was people remembering him and really kind of giving his flowers and then some.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Also, I should say, Mako Satomura was someone who I was a big, big fan of. And so her retirement for some reason, like hit me kind of heavy. And so it was cool that Rio got to be her final opponent. And I'm a fan of Progress. So it's cool that, they were able to reveal that, but for some reason, like Mako, I didn't follow her whole career. I didn't really catch on to like the tail end of it, really. But for some reason, she just always had, you know, as the kids say, aura of like just being a legendary, incredible person. So that was kind of a cool thing to see, or not cool, but like kind of heavy thing. Like, oh wow, I guess she's hanging it up. I mean, she wrestled for 1,000 years, so it makes sense that she retired. But I mean that respectfully. She just had a very long career, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was something that kind of hit me heavy.
Retirements are all the rage in 2025. We'll talk about that more in this series. Well, Jack, you've been very generous with your time. Before you go, obviously get a chance, let's plug where they can hear you. People can see you, feel you, get your autographs, you know, where they might have headphones on, do the loud noises inside arenas at Monster Truck Shows. But yeah, and social media, the floor is yours. Go ahead and promote.
Yeah, the best way to find me is to follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. As mentioned, I am on the Massive Heat podcast with Raj Geary and Matt Morgan on the podcast Heat Network. I also do Draped in Gold with Flobo Boyce, where we every Tuesday after NXT, we cover just all the basic wrestling news throughout the week that you expect to see. We try to have a little fun with it, though, as we go through and make some jokes and keep it silly. So that's a fun show we do. As mentioned, also, I'm going to be on the, I'm not sure what I'll say, the Arena West tour for Monster Jam. So if I'm coming to a city near you, definitely come by. I love meeting people in person. Like, so literally, if you do come to one of these shows and you see me, come say hello. I love to say hi to people. Also, I'm on Championship Wrestling doing their ring announcing as well as Santino Bros Wrestling.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, keeping a busy schedule. So Arena Series West, where do you don't even know where you're going to go at this point, right?
I have a list here. I could probably pull it up here.
I'm looking here. There's videos about, I like, that's cool. They did this. They did a tour. They did, a thing for it.
Yeah.
Like yeah. It's different videos and stuff. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to be, first show January 2nd, Salt Lake City, Utah will be the first one.
There you go.
Back in action, I believe, if this is an up-to-date schedule I have. I got to go double-check that. I'm not sure.
Let's see. I can tell you, you're going to Salt Lake City, Utah, Kansas City, Missouri, Reno, Nevada, Greensboro, North Carolina, Orlando, San Diego, Baltimore, Tacoma, Anaheim, Nashville, St. Louis, Newark, New Jersey, Sacramento. This is a wild tour. This thing keeps going and going. You're going to be busy for the whole year.
I'm going to be getting my air miles in, that's for sure.
Are you going to do this Netherlands show in March?
I do not know. I'd love to do that, but that's one they usually pick. I think they usually will. They pick that separately. Sure. But I would love that. That would be the dream because they do a lot of international shows, and I'd love to get to do some international travel with them.
And you're coming to my neck of the woods, Manchester, New Hampshire, in May. How about
that? You gotta come by. Come see that? A show.
I got a 9-year-old girl that loves destruction. Might be good.
They're fun shows, and I can give away toys, so maybe I might have something for her if she comes through.
All right, sounds good. Uncle Jack, I like this. Uncle Jack. Well, Jack, this has been great as always. I appreciate the time, and it was fun looking back. And thanks for hanging out and watching, looking back at January 2025.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Big thanks to Jack Farmer for stopping by. I hope you enjoyed that. 11 more episodes to go in this series happening over the next 2 months. And then the last episode will happen the first week of January, just to make sure we get every single thing possible, you know, and all that. But it's a great series. I think we're going to do 2 episodes next week. Just waiting to confirm on a guest for one of them. But looks like we'll do 2 next week. And that'll be kind of the deal going forward. We'll spread them out and make sure people have a chance to listen to them. If you have any feedback, you can let me know on Twitter or Blue Sky, JOSHNASON. If you're looking for more Josh Nason's Punch-Out shows, they're absolutely free. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and this very website as well. You can go just to Wrestling Observer. If you search for those in those platforms, you'll find those always free. And let's see, recent episodes include Brandon Thurston. We did an AEW Q3 quarterly business review. A little check in there. I did some AEW creative talk with Mike Delacamera. I had a lot of fun doing that. Author Guy Evans, we talked about Beyond Nitro. Mike Cashflow Walden of Tulsa King, talked to him a few weeks ago. Todd Grisham, remember him from WWE? We caught up with Todd. Boss Rutten, the Smash Machine, AJ Kirsch. And all kinds of other stuff as well. You can always go in the archives. Prince Nana, I talked to him earlier this year as well. So a ton of stuff in the archives. Just go to F4W Online, go to podcasts, and search Punch Out. If you have any questions, let me know, and I'll do it. Again, big thanks to Jack Farmer, and a bigger thanks to all of you for listening. I know you have a lot of choice in your podcast day, and I greatly appreciate the time you spend with me almost every single week here on WrestlingObserver.com or on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. So until next time, which will be next week, insert catchphrase here.